Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
And it came the ram, had two horns, which had seen standing before the river, and ran into him with the fury of his power. Okay, then that ram with the strange horn, not a normal horn, because right here in verse 5, and it says, as I was considering, behold, a he-goat came up from the west of the face of the whole earth and touched not the ground, and the goat had a notable horn between its eyes. Remember we said the horn represented the government. Normally it's a small horn for a lesser government, a higher horn for a more powerful government, a great horn. This one is a notable horn, conspicuous horn, a very strange horn, not an earthly government. And Daniel has already talked about that when he told Nebuchadnezzar about his dream of the great statue. The feet of the statue represented the Antichrist's one world government. Okay, and it said it, the feet were of miry clay mixed with iron. And if you look at the wording there real quick, it mentions that they mixed their seeds with the seeds of men. And that was the head of that government. It was not an earthly human government. And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he moved with choler against him and smote the ram and brake his two horns, and there was no power in the ram to stand before him. But he cast him down to the ground and stamped upon him, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. So a death blow has been given to this nation that protected the nation of Israel. Okay, I'm going to read here again in Revelation. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. Now it's going to say what rescuing Israel has made the Antichrist very angry. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman. Now this is representative. This, remember I told you water is representative of multitudes of people. In this instance, it is his armies. He has sent his armies that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. He wants to destroy the nation of Israel with his armies, and he sent his armies after him. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And you also see some divine intervention there, mentioned as the earth opened her mouth. Not only the nation of the, not only the United States comes to the rescue of Israel, God also intervenes, and it's spoken of several times in the Bible also. And the dragon was wroth with the woman. Oh, he's so angry now. Mm-hmm. And went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Okay, there is your reason for the battle that we see taking place in Daniel. He's angry. This nation founded under God has protected Israel from his armies. And now I'm angry. He says, I'm angry. I want to destroy this. And the dragon was angry with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. And we are the remnant. We are a Judeo-Christian nation. At least our founding was. And we've kept that up until the last 70 or 80 years, and things are falling off. And that's why judgment has to come. Even though we are still doing God's work in very lesser ways, we have a mission here at the end. The United States will protect the nation of Israel. And then judgment will come, as we see with the nation of Israel over and over again. They take their eyes off of God. Judgment will come. So, the United States has carried out its last mission in one of these final battles. It has protected the nation of Israel. The Antichrist is very angry at what the United States has accomplished by defeating his armies. And he is going to make war with the remnant of her seed, which kept the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And we're going to flip back to Daniel now in 7 again. And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with choler against him, anger against him, just what it said, and smote the ram and brake his two horns. The governments were broken, and there was no power in the ram to stand before him. But he cast him down to the ground and stamped upon him, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. And there's also a passage in this book that suggests that when this happens, the United States is broken in 1 hour. And a reference to Great Britain in there, it says, and the mind of Great Britain was changed. So they didn't suffer the catastrophic land destruction that the United States is going to suffer. But all of a sudden, the United States is no longer there to protect them. And it says their mind was changed. It's like, mm-hmm. Oh, we better go with the flow at this point.
Yeah. Oh, we're good. They got our back. Wait.
Forget them, guys.
Yeah.
What'd you say happened? Oh, no. Get that guy on the phone, that Antichrist fellow.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, the he-goat waxed very great. And when he was strong, the great horn was broken. And for it came up, four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. So yes, once the defiant United States is taken out of the picture, the Antichrist government is absolutely the most powerful nation or conglomeration of 10 nations in the world. And I want to give you a little bit, I mean, I've told you so many times, the rapture is not going to snatch you out of here before bad things happen. But I want to give you what I believe a little bit of comfort. This mark of the beast that's coming, I don't believe it will be in this nation. From this appearance right here, the United States is not cooperating with the Antichrist. But we're still so powerful, he can't do much about it as he has done with three other nations that rebelled against him. So I don't believe this mark will be in this nation. I could be wrong about it. But I do believe Daniel 8 is showing the United States to be a defiant nation of the Antichrist, whom he deals with harshly once we have rescued Israel. Verse 9, and out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceedingly great toward the south and toward the east and toward the pleasant land. And it waxed great even to the host of heaven. And it cast down some of the host and of the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. And this is Satan indwelling the body, you know, and it's not giving him any applause here at all. It's not giving him any accolades, describing him as a small horn, you know, one with a big mouth. And what it said earlier, remember that, Jonathan? A little horn with a speaking great things,
oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
A little man with a big mouth.
Yeah, he's all mad because, you know, he's completely legalistic. So these Jews have converted to Christianity. And then it's like, oh, wait a minute. You're going against all these laws that you're supposed to be keeping.
Yep.
Anyway.
And he had already gone into the temple and made new laws.
Yep.
And you know what? And I'm inclined to believe from reading the history of the Jews that we've been in for months now, that they probably went along with it at first.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they had moved in other gods into their temples before.
Yeah, it wasn't a big deal. Like, they could adapt.
Yeah. Yeah, we got room for a statue of Baal right there in that corner.
Yeah. You know,
move it in there right beside the ark.
Matter of fact, let it prop up on the legs. It's kind of unlevel.
Yay. Number 11. Yay, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host. Magnifying himself even to Jesus Christ. And by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. And this is some of those times and statutes that he would change. You know, there's a morning sacrifice and an evening sacrifice. And he has gone into the temple, and we discussed this yesterday in the last chapter. It says he goes into the temple, proclaims itself God, and changes the statutes of God's law. Yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the hosts, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. And an host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression. He is polluting the temple with his presence. And it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. And that there, practiced and prospered, makes me think the Jews are going along with it. It's something new, and this guy has done some miracles, and maybe he really is this Messiah we've been waiting for. Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint. I love that little phrase there. There's one guy speaking, and he said to another guy, and that certain guy. Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint, which spake, how long shall the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? There's another clue to the fact that the Jews will be going along with this, because this happens for quite a while. And Daniel's going to tell us exactly how long. This Antichrist has gone in to the third temple, which Daniel has already said will be built during the first half of the tribulation period, and built rather quickly. The thing has already been mostly prefabricated. From what I understand, reading a few articles, the ashes of the perfect red heifer without spot or blemish have already been prepared. They were five perfect animals delivered from some Texas cattlemen years ago, and it's believed they have already processed and burned them properly. And that, we know, if you've been following along in the Levitical law, is the only way a priest can enter the temple, is to be sanctified by the ashes of a red heifer. That's already been done. This temple plans have already been done. Prefabrication processes in the works and already mostly complete. They are waiting for the real estate to become available. And we all know, as chaotic as the Middle East and Jerusalem is, that real estate could be available tomorrow.
Right.
One bomb, one suicide bomber.
That's it.
You know, some mad Israeli with a bulldozer. And I've actually read just recently, some rabbis have wandered onto the property and prayed. That's forbidden. Yes, absolutely. You do not go to the Dome of the Rock Mosque.
Good for them.
One of Islam's most holy sites. And say any Jewish prayers.
Yeah, especially to the Son of God.
Yes, yes. Oh, well they were still praying by the law, but... It's interesting, and I don't even believe that's actually the real estate. I believe it's just off to the side. And I do believe, and I'm absolutely certain, the wall, the Wailing Wall, is the remnant of the Roman fort that was right next to the temple. I mean, there was actually a ramp that went from the temple to the fort, because the Romans knew this temple is the seat of the problems we're having here in Judea. Mm-hmm. We're going to put the garrison right next to it, so that we can keep an eye on these folks. Jesus said, not one stone of this temple will remain together. Verse 14, and he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. That's 3.5 years. So, he's going to go into this new temple, declare himself God, change the statutes, the morning and the evening sacrifice, and apparently the Jews are going to go along with it. Most of them, or some of them, because they don't do anything about it, or they can't do anything about it. It came to pass, when I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, then behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man, and I heard a man's voice between the banks of the Eulai, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell on my face. But he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision, the last 7 years of the world. Now as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground, but he touched me and set me upright. And he said, behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of the indignation. And that is speaking about when the Antichrist goes into the temple, the abomination of desolation. It is absolute indignation to God. For at the time appointed, the end shall be. The ram, which thou sawest having two horns, are the kings of Media and Persia. Oh, well, that's not the United States and England. No, that is representative of the two greatest world powers that existed at the same time, back in the ancient days. And the rough goat is the king of Grecia. Okay, now what happened to Media and Persia when the Greeks, with a very small army, conquered the world under Alexander the Great? He came, I read one story, he came against Xerxes with 50,000 soldiers. Xerxes fielded 250,000 soldiers in the field that day, and the Greeks wiped them out. These are representations. This is not actually speaking of these nations. It's talking about Media and Persia, the ram which thou sawest having two horns are the kings of Media and Persia, the two greatest world powers of the time. And we talked about that, how America came out of England, and the rough goat, the one who attacked the king of Grecia, and this representation by Alexander's great military prowess on how he defeated nations greater than himself. And the great horn that was between his eyes is the first king. And lo and behold, the conspicuous horn, the very strange horn, the unworldly horn, yes, that is the first king of this new world nation that has come up. Now that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of that nation, but not in his power. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up, and there he is. Now that first portion in 22 is actually speaking representative of the nations in the past, who the spirit of these nations brought forth, the spirit of Antichrist that rules this nation. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power, and he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And these four nations are mentioned in the last chapter. And let's go back here just a little bit. Now that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms. And we talked about those the other day, and they're representative of the early Babylon and Grecia and Media and Persia, and the spirits of those nations. You know, men are not driven by their own ambitions. This Bible says there is a spirit standing behind every world leader in this world. With Daniel, there's a place coming up in here. He's crying out, and he's fasting, he's praying, and an angel comes like 3 weeks after he started this. And he said, I would have come sooner, but I was detained by the prince of the power of Persia. Okay? That's not a worldly person. That was an angel, a dark angel. This angel was sent from heaven. And, you know, and you got to catch other episodes on Between the Lines, WBFFradio.com. When God sends an angel into this world on a mission, he doesn't just appear in your living room. He has to come through the Temple Mount. Okay? There is a porthole to heaven, if you want to call it that. Jacob laid his head there. He's seen the angels descending and ascending from heaven. They don't just appear where you want them to. They have to go through there. That is a bastion of darkness right now. You know, just like Sultan, what's his name, sealed up the East Gate because the prophecy said Christ would come through there one day. Mm-hmm. They have sealed up that area spiritually, mm-hmm, of darkness. Angels have to fight their way through there. The angel says, I was detained for 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. The mighty archangel Michael had to come and free me. There is a spiritual war going on all around us. You have no idea. It's not black and white. These things that are spoken of here are the dark powers and principalities and powers in high places that are behind the rulers of these nations. And what it's basically describing here, those great nations of the ancient world had demons behind their rulers. Those demons are behind this new government also. Mm-hmm. And its power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. powers of darkness. And he shall destroy wonderfully and shall prosper and practice. He shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. There it is, America, the mighty, defending the holy people. And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. Magical powers.
Mm-hmm.
Miracles done right there on your television set.
The whole world to say, oh, Jesus is here.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's not. But yeah.
And he shall magnify himself in his own heart, and by peace shall destroy many, many. Magnify himself in his heart. And that is representative of his spirit man. And what it said earlier, a little man speaking with a big mouth. But he's going to magnify himself up to where he confronts the King of Kings. He shall also stand up against the Prince of Princes. Yes, Jesus Christ. But he shall be broken without hand. We say earlier, when we first started, the flame coming from the throne of God.
Mm-hmm.
And that it says that time his body is destroyed. And the vision of the evening and the morning, which was told, is true. Wherefore shut thou up the vision, for it shall be for many days. And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick certain days afterwards. I rose up and did the king's business, and I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. Wow, I can imagine. This must have dwelt on his mind for weeks,
especially
and months.
How vivid this whole account is,
yeah,
recorded here.
Absolutely. So we have just seen the last few days of this world. Like I said, Daniel's very complex. I am not telling you here today that I have this absolutely figured out. I have it justified in my mind why it is as I told you it was. I believe it is moderately accurate. Hope I'm right. You know, I don't look forward to this nation being destroyed, but this nation will be judged. It's many places in here God says so. Every nation that followed God and turned their hearts away from him was judged, and sometimes violently. But it does my soul good to know that one of the last acts of this great nation, the United States, is to protect God's people in a final battle. That's like, you know what? We're going out with a bang. In a fury of glory, we come to the aid of God's chosen people before our judgment is cast. Been good to be here with you in the book of Daniel on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible on WVFF 97.7. And we'll catch you next time.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan. Exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.